僕のこの声が闇に虚しく吸い込まれた。
Hello and thanks for listening to JoJo's Bizarre Podcast. My name is Mark. I am once again joined by Miles. Hello, Miles.
Hello.
Hi, Miles. I'm also joined by Jackie.
Hello.
Hello to the two of you. We are a trio, you can count, of people that watches the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure anime from 2012 or 2013. I don't remember. And does podcast episodes about it. But the JoJo anime is currently, if we're being optimistic, on hiatus.
But that's not going to stop us.
That's not going to stop us from podcasting and forcing the world to hear us.
No, we owe it to our listeners.
Yeah, maybe. if you want to hear the old episodes, it is possible to do so. We did not delete them all. You can go to anchor.fm/JJBpod and hear all of our JoJo anime thoughts in a very weird order. We start with part four, and then we go back to part one, and then everything's normal. We did all the OVAs, the new ones, the ones from the 2000s and 1993.
So don't ask us.
We really covered it all. But we will not read the comic. We might read it at some point. Anyway, so we've done all that. And these days, what we do is we watch anime that people submit to us through Twitter, at JJBpod, email, jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. People that sponsor us on our Patreon, which is also JJBpod. Or in this week's case, anime that one of us just went, you know what show was good? And then we watch it. And this time, we're going to be talking about Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann. Or Heaven Busting, I think.
Okay.
Heaven Buster
Gurren Lagann. You could be lying and we wouldn't know.
I believe that's what it means. And I just want to say right off the bat that Lagann is not a reference to the Indian movie about cricket, the sport.
Okay.
I don't know that movie.
Well,
Miles, have you seen Gurren Lagann before?
No.
Okay, neither had I. I had not seen it.
Okay, I'm sorry. It was Heaven Piercing Gurren Lagann.
Okay.
But anyway, before we get into our thoughts, we watched episodes 1 to 3, and I solo watched episode 4 because there's a very funny kind of controversy about that episode. So I wanted to get context, and we'll talk about that. Before we do any of that discussion, however, we're going to read our emails in a little... We're going to hop in a little machine called the Listener Lagann. Listeners, log in and hop on this Lagann and send some Gurren emails to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. This first email... Did we not do this one? I guess not. Wow. This has been a long week. This first email is from Brendan. It is a continuation of an email where they sent us a photo of a stone mask tattoo.
And so this is a follow-up.
This is a follow-up.
Because we asked it, but we asked what it meant.
We asked what it meant, and I wasn't 100% sure that it was not just one of the faces of the Pillar Men rather than the stone mask from part one.
Mm.
And this is what they said. I'll try to keep my email to the point this time around. You asked what the stone mask means to me, and it's just a good reminder to always strive to be the ultimate being or just to be the best version of myself that I can. I also just love the look of it. That's fair.
Yeah.
I love it.
I wonder if everyone that you explained that to, if they all knew what the stone mask does and what the stone mask users do, they might not all trust you. But
I think most people are just like, oh, that's cool. What is it? You're like, it's from an anime.
Yeah. I trust you is what I'm trying to get across. I don't care if your arm turns into a squirrel that kills, frankly, if it kills Nazis, then whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
But what about good Nazis?
What about all the good Nazis? The count still
like
stands at zero.
Stroheim? They try to make him sympathetic.
He's a convenient ally. That doesn't mean he's not good.
All right.
I mean
he's not, but yeah.
I mean, if your enemy is like a godlike, powerful, subterranean, half-nude model,
mm-hmm.
You're going to need any of the help you can get.
That's true.
Deal with them later. I'll just say this also because it wouldn't be fair to the rest of you to read this, but Chad is the only one who listened from last episode.
To our instructions.
And
to your instructions,
when
I
asked if we should watch Gurren Lagann, I requested people write in an email with the subject line, "Hell yeah," and "Nobody." And that's what Chad did, but he did still sign off with "Mahalo, Chad." Who wants to read the next email?
Thanks, Chad.
New comment on JoJo's Bizarre Podcast Twitch stream.
Who? Oh, yeah? We got a comment on the Twitch stream?
The old one I put on YouTube like 2 years ago.
Oh.
Let's not read it.
Oh, it was nice.
I'm going to read it. What's going on, Joe Bro? It's always awesome to have people who enjoy the JoJo verse as much as I do. By the way, I really enjoy your podcast. This is from Rob, I guess.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
I replied to your comment with a bunch of praying hand emojis.
Yay.
I'm telling you this because YouTube doesn't tell me when people reply to comments, which is probably for the best. Although YouTube is no longer the most toxic comment space.
Oh, no.
Now it's Twitter for sure.
No.
What?
I feel like there's worse than Twitter.
I doubt it. What, like Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook is worse.
No, because Facebook has groups, so they can like go like throw feces at each other in special spaces. That's Twitter, true. You can just be talking and someone's like, you're fucking stupid out of nowhere.
But Twitter like at least gives you the power to like not see that.
Yeah.
What do you mean by like muting and stuff?
Yeah, you can like totally turn off replies if you want, or like only see replies from people who follow you.
I guess, but I think its default nature is very open-ended and yeah.
Listeners, write in and let us know what you think is the most toxic place of the internet.
Yeah. Listeners, write in negatively so you make email the most toxic mm-hmm. way of interacting. okay, Miles, do you want to read this?
I guess I'll read this next
email. Yeah, you should do that.
From Wiz Khaleesi.
Pretty good.
The subject line is listener feedback. Hello, JJBA pod crew. I'm a new listener and found you guys when I decided to search for JoJo podcasts on a whim last month after finally finishing part 5. So, I guess that means we have good SEO, huh?
Good enough.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Your show is perfect. Perfect. Nice. From the random 90s/00s pop culture references to Mark with a K's nerdy voice actor trivia. I do the same when I watch anime with others, except dubbed because I am a basic bitch.
Oof.
I'm also older than dirt and in my early 30s. That's not older than dirt.
Yeah, wait a minute.
It's our age.
So it's awesome to see anime fans around my age. I feel seen and represented.
We're here for
I'm
you.
I'm more than okay with subs, and I'm a proud hashtag dub scrub, as long as the voice acting and localization are both done well. The English dub for JoJo falls into that category for me and is underrated. I watched it all the way through to part 5, episode 30, but the dub that's currently airing on Adult Swim was affected by the pandemic and got delayed. I ended up finishing the final 9 episodes subbed. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this and what you think about sub-purist gatekeeping in anime. Sorry if you've answered this already. Keep up the great work. I might splurge one of these days and make you watch a shitty anime so I can get a hilarious podcast episode out of it. I have some ideas, so stay tuned. Love always, your girl, Wiz Khaleesi from Toronto. Yo, shout out to Canada. How do I move there? Tell me. P.S. Hope this email wasn't too long. P.P.S. Every time I close my eyes, I wake up feeling like P. Diddy.
Nice.
I was thinking when I first read this that if I were the one reading it on the pod, I would also have to sing it. It's incredible that lyric has burrowed itself into our heads.
I'm glad I didn't read it because I would not have done that. I would have just read it straight.
But do you know what it's from?
Of course.
Okay.
It's from Ke Dollar Sign Ha.
Ke Dollar Sign Ha. Or Ke Ha Dollars.
That was a very nice email.
That was very nice. And I have to say that the subject line kind of spooked me because it's listener feedback, which is way more serious.
Yeah.
Than feedback can be positive, Mark.
Yeah, this is good feedback.
It can be, but I still was like, oh no.
Listener feedback. Hey guys, you should shut the fuck up forever. And
that's a fair response though to us. I'd be like, well, you know, I understand. You've got a point.
I like it when people pay us to watch shitty anime, but there's also the chance that we might not like it.
Well, that's the thing, is
with that gamble.
If they pay us to watch something shitty, then everyone wins except us, kind of, because we just shit on it and they don't feel personally attacked and we can all hate something, but then it's a negative energy.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So you could try to get us to like stuff, but then the thing is we have no problem being like, eh, it's fine. I didn't like it.
They know what they're going to get with us. They know we're honest.
I don't know.
They know we're honest.
Maybe they do.
No, they do.
Mark.
They do now. What?
What do you think of sub-purist gatekeeping in anime?
I don't know. We have indeed talked about it at points. I don't really care what people do, but I don't really watch dubs. I don't really like them.
I think we've talked about this with friend of the pod. I forget her name.
Kira?
Yes.
Kira Buckland, voice of Rainy from part 4.
In English.
And I think what she said was like...
Jackie says with disdain.
No, not with disdain. Excuse me. I just want to clarify. She's not doing any of the other dubs. She's doing the English dub of Raimi.
That's right. Kira Buckland did not do the Japanese.
She could have done it. Why
Sorry.
Not? There's no stopping her.
It's true.
What's to stop her besides the language barrier? Well, I don't know. True. Maybe she knows Japanese. We don't know.
It's true. Your name could be George Greenberg and you're actually Japanese. You don't know.
I think what she said was, it's fine, just don't be an asshole to the people who do the dub.
Oh, yeah, that's especially true.
Yeah.
That I would never condone. Like, if I was like, it's my preference to watch the subs, but also yell at people who put in hard work to get you some fun TV.
I have a problem with anybody who tells other people how they should enjoy something. Like, fuck you. You know?
Nobody here said they do that, Jackie.
Fuck no, but people do that. I think that's what this listener is referring to when they talk about sub purists or whatever. Like, people who are like, you gotta watch it in the original language.
Yeah.
Because what it's better, whatever, whatever. And, you know... I don't know.
I think
let people do whatever they want and don't shame them for it.
Just to throw a twist in there, I will say that I would understand a dub versus sub argument if it was a live action movie and you're like losing the like live action performers' emotion and performance because their like mouth isn't synced to the other language that they're supposedly saying. But with a cartoon, like they're good. They're really good at making it seem like, yes, Misty from Pokemon is not a Japanese girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's anything.
I think that...
She's from Kanto.
I think that...
She's Cantonese.
Oh, stop it.
I think
go
dub
to hell.
Versus sub, it could be... I think the only time that that's a worthy argument is when you are trying to watch something with someone and you're at opposite ends of that. You know, like if you're watching it with somebody and you prefer dub and they prefer sub, like who wins, you know, like if you're going to watch it together. I think like the dub should just win at that point. I mean, people should compromise, but I think like just watch the dub.
I will say, despite not being a gatekeeper, I might leave the room if you were to put
what?
On a, no, I'm just kidding. I would prefer it the other way.
Because that's definitely happened to... That's how I watched... So, Dark on Netflix, which is not an anime. It'd be cool if it was. I feel like I would like... They should do an anime version of Dark. But anyway, I really like that show. The first time I saw it with my best friend. And it's a German language show. It's a live action show. And she didn't want to watch it like with subtitles because she was like, I don't want to read, I just want to like watch the act, and she prefers dubs. And I like watching things in the original language, but I was like, it's fine, like, as long as the voice acting is good. And the voice acting was really good. So I watched the first season in English. Then later, Mark and I watched it in the original German, and we saw the whole thing. And at some point through it, I was like, let me see what the Spanish dub is like. So I'm also, I started the Spanish dub. I haven't finished it, but the voice acting is really good in Spanish too. So it's just a, it's, and I don't know, it's just a different way of experiencing it. But I think as long as like the acting is good, like you're going to get a similar experience. Like usually with dubs, like they try to get an actor who has a similar voice or who can kind of match the same tone as the original. So you don't really lose that much, I think, if the dub is good. And I think that also is the same for anime.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. If they can properly emote. I have to wonder, if you like to sort of point out trivia of like, these people did this voice and this voice, I kind of feel like the non-Japanese voice industries are probably smaller.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about that
for
too.
Sure. I think they are, yeah.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh, look, it's insert voice actor name here. I can't think of anybody.
I think
Kira,
I mean,
Buckland. It's, yeah, it's Kira again.
You should, if you're interested in talking about voice acting, I think probably just listen to the episode that we did where our guest was Kira. I think we have two episodes with her, or is it one? I don't know.
Just the one.
We have the one. Okay. Well, yeah, watch that episode. Listen to that episode. I feel like, yeah, we cover the topic a little bit there too.
Yeah, a little bit. Thank you for writing. Let us move on to our last email.
This is from Martin. The subject line is, today's number is 5. Hi-yo, I hope you're doing well. Been catching up to the Twitch pod. Hope you're doing well. Been catching up with the pod after not feeling Gucci. I've been trying to keep calm, and right now I've been in a big self-improvement phase. I've let myself get a bit too much, go a little bit too much than I would have liked. I've let myself go. Okay. I'm really happy you've enjoyed Hina Matsuri. It's been one of my favorite comedy animes, but it's taken me so long to finish it, not the show's fault. It was the last anime I saw last year before I didn't watch any more until summer this year with Dorohedoro. I actually finished the show right after I listened to the pod episode. It's such a good show, and the show feels really human, more than other slice of life shows. I think the later episodes hit really good. What is this? A-I-T-T-A. What does that mean?
Aita.
Aita.
I just figure you say it that way.
What does that
ouch.
Mean?
Ouchie.
It's like a mixture of...
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's... Yeah.
It's maybe. A reference
but
to
now
the show.
But now I'm in an anime mood, so I decided to rewatch Stardust Crusaders. I feel like the only good thing that has happened is David Lynch's weather report. The director started doing daily videos on his YouTube channel where he would just talk about the weather in LA. It's very simple, but it has gathered a small cult following. Last month, he also started a daily number series where he has a jar with ping pong balls from 1 to 10. And from the beginning, everyone has been hoping for a 7 to get picked. Everyone has been hoping, no, begging for that magical number to appear, but it wasn't until the 40th day that we finally got the number 7. It was truly amazing. P.S. Every time I close my eyes, I feel like there is an imposter among us.
Dun, dun, dun. I actually was just playing that before we started recording. Among
playing
Us
what?
Is the name of the game. Oh. Among Us. And, I forgot. I was like, oh, I'm going to play with a bunch of people that I know and feel like aren't judgmental or whatever. And then I was the imposter right away and was like, oh, fuck, I'm still nervous. I hate this so much.
Mm.
If you didn't know, Among Us is a social deduction game where you do stuff, but someone is not who you think they are. And you get on the mic and you argue about who is suspicious and whatever. And they have to blend in during the gameplay, but then also murder people when no one's looking.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets real nervous, but it's a thing. It's a cultural phenomenon you two should be aware of.
I have no interest in playing. I don't like those kinds of games.
It doesn't really matter.
Well, okay.
No, I'm agreeing with you. You don't have to.
Dave, I've heard of the David Lynch's weather report. Have you seen it, Mark?
I've heard about it too.
Yeah, I've heard about, I think I watched one of them. I forget who showed it to me. That's cool. All right, we have another email from Chad. Mark, do you want to take that one?
Sure. Aloha, JJB. Oh, wait, the subject line is drilling on heaven's door. I had to read that. Aloha, JJB pod. A couple of quick things before we move off of Hinamatsuri. Yasan, the old guy that showed Anzu the ropes of being homeless, was voiced by the same actor that voiced Nunzio Pericolo, the guy who promotes Bucciarati da Capo and gives them Trish to take care of from part 5. Okay, it's another old man. The term that Mark couldn't remember is Kohai, which is the opposite of Senpai. Yeah, thank you, Chad. I looked that up later. I think I said Kotai, which could be the word for answer. So I fucked up. My weird subject line last week was referencing that the term Hinamatsuri, which literally means doll festival, is the Japanese name for Girls' Day, which falls annually on March 3rd.
Oh.
Okay, now I love Gurren Lagann. It's not a perfect show, but it's a damned fine one. I cried a bunch of times when I first watched it in equal parts from heartbreak and an overwhelming sense of camaraderie. A lot of what would become Trigger's production style is visible in this series, like over-the-top action, weird design choices that end up working, the head-slash-face mecha, and circumventing at least a trope or two as well. Also, this is interesting, this show is pretty good dubbed, which makes it perfect to have on in the background once you've watched it through once. I hope anyone that watched it for the first time this week enjoyed it. Since it's almost October when I'm writing this, if you had to dress up as a stand for a JoJo Halloween party, which one would you choose? Mahalo, Chad. P.S. If anyone is looking for a new ongoing horror manga, I highly recommend Chainsaw Man. You can read it officially in English for free online via the Shueisha manga. Woof. Mark, what are you doing? You're losing your weave status. Via the Shueisha Manga Plus website. It's supposed to be getting an anime adaptation too, so maybe someone will recommend it for the podcast. That was close. What stand would you dress up as for Halloween? Me, I would dress up as Strength. Just be a big boat.
Mm.
Just a big oil tanker, whatever. And then I'd also get like melty and fall apart. I think that's cool. And then Jackie, you could dress up as the ape, the orangutan.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Couples, it's a perfect couples costume.
And then you just stand on me while I walk around.
Okay.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
Are you going to just piggyback on you?
Yeah. But both of us are sweaty because I am carrying you and you'd be wearing a gorilla costume under a nautical outfit.
I could be Death 13. I feel like that would be an easy costume.
Death 13 is cool. How do you make it look like you have no legs, no body? You just like skate?
I just float.
Oh, okay. I didn't take that option into consideration.
No, I don't know. I'm actually just pogo sticking around or something. Oh. I'm on stilts.
Okay. You add the Chinese hopping vampire flair to it.
Yeah.
Miles, what stand would you be?
I would be Koichi's Echoes as an egg.
You'd be the egg. You just roll around. That's almost a Hinamatsuri cosplay. If we cut a hole for your face, then you'd be like one of the girls that teleported.
I would have to be nude in there, though. I would have to be.
I think you could just keep your clothes on.
I would have to be.
All right. Well, I appreciate your commitment.
On this note, I would like to solicit suggestions from our listenership. What should my baby be for Halloween? Thank you.
Yeah, like part of me says...
Shizuka Joestar!
Yeah, make your baby invisible.
No, you just put little glasses on her. Ooh, I mean, on him, sorry. And Tim, take a picture for the pod. Sorry, I'm just thinking of Shizuka.
Yeah, we want you to put lipstick on your baby. See if he's fine with it, and then...
He's fine with anything. He's a baby. He doesn't know. He's not aware.
He looked at us.
All right, listeners, write in and let us know what Miles's baby should be.
Yeah, that is good. I mean, the egg is easy, but no one else would. Miles, does it have to be a costume? It doesn't have to be a JoJo costume, right?
So, no, we just went there, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't have to be, Halloween. But based on the interests of the people listening to this podcast, I'm guessing...
It's going to be some kind of anime thing.
All right. Again, if you want to write in to us, you can do that by writing to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. You have my permission. One last thing before we get out of Listener Lagoon, although that makes me want to say Listener Lagoon, which is also pretty cool sounding. We have a Patreon because we need and appreciate your support. If you go to patreon.com/JJBpod, memberships start at $1 a month. It's cool to do that. Everyone's doing it now. You can be a Patreon for $3 a month, which doesn't get you any further benefits. But I will verbally confirm our undying gratitude. So thank you to Caden, Nick, Celeste, Austin, Tim, Tyler, Martin, Michael, Kevin, and Chad. You make this show possible. You can also step up to the $20 tier, which can just be a one-time thing, and we will watch an anime of your choosing, either three, maybe sometimes four episodes of a TV show, or a movie if it's good. It's got to be like critically acclaimed shit, or really terrible and funny. One of those two. I don't know. Just if you give us money, you can just suggest something. We'll see. We'll work it out. We'll figure it out. Okay. Should we take a break and then we'll come back to talk about Gurren Lagann?
Sure.
Can you guys answer? Is that?
Yes.
Do we do it? Okay. Again, we watched Gurren Lagann this week for the pod. This is a show that ran between April and September 2007. It is a, I guess it was Gainax at the time. It was immediately before the foundation, as Chad said, of Studio Trigger, who did Kill la Kill and BNA.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. And they also did Promare. Yeah, it's Promare. And it is written by what Wikipedia refers to as veteran playwright Kazuki Nakashima. I don't really know what plays he's written, but he's also written other anime stuff like Re Cutie Honey, Gurren Lagann, Kill la Kill, Promare, and 080 Rocket. Yeah, so he's a veteran playwright who is very much in bed with Studio Trigger. So you can think of this as sort of an
offshoot. This did not feel like a play.
It did not feel like a play?
No.
The first episode does to me. But a play with a lot of boobs. Anyway.
An action.
Yeah. This is oh, that's true. It's hard to do that in a play. You could put people on some kind of expensive elevator contraption in the middle with a big drill as you go up in the air.
Explosions.
Yeah. You could blow up people. Mm-hmm. It's an action anime about a team or like underground villages of people that make their way to the surface to fight these giant robots that actually aren't really like your typical humanoid looking robots. A lot of them are giant faces. So it's kind of a mecha anime, but it's also post-apocalyptic because it's in the future. They kind of don't know what humanity used to be like on the surface. Everything's kind of deserted. So it's got themes of revolution and brotherhood and boners and boobs. So a lot of those too.
I feel like masculinity and manliness is a theme.
Oh, yeah.
It's because it's brought up so much.
Sure.
And it's, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
I feel like I could just, like, I wouldn't want to do this, but, like, you could probably watch all of this and write a paper about just masculinity.
Yeah.
Write, like, a college research paper just on masculinity.
Your penis is a drill.
And, like...
You know?
Yeah. There's all so much of that.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah, the show...
The show is very heterosexual, too. They, like, beat you over the head with it.
All right. The show went on to win some awards at the Tokyo International Anime Fair and some other festivals, and has received widespread critical acclaim. There was also a movie which I'm not sure that I saw, but I did watch all of this show back in 2007 or 2000, whenever it, a little bit after it came out. And yeah, we watched episodes 1 through 3, and I watched episode 4. But yeah, some of these people also worked on Evangelion, which I do feel like you can feel the impact of. I was going to say the second impact of. Thanks, Miles. But especially in the beginning when they're like on the ship and they're like yelling orders at each other and screens are going red and stuff. And obviously like inside the mecha, things turning on and off and, you know, the confidence of the main boy being like, I can't do this.
Yeah. Or lack of confidence.
Yeah. Except in this case, in my head, a little bit of the time. No, you know what? I think it was on purpose. They definitely make, I think there's like erection sort of jokes with him not being able to like get it off the ground. I think. At least in
this whole show is just a penis metaphor.
Yeah, you could call this show like Dick and Tits the anime and it would be like, yeah. That makes sense. But at least in the subtitles they say things like you can't get it up or something like that. It's not as like in your face as I can't think of another even jokier show. Kill la Kill feels like it takes even further to a little bit more self-aware.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, in Kill la Kill, I think is centering different things because it's the main characters are women and it is a very, it's more that, I think Kill la Kill is more boobs the anime, maybe, TNA the anime.
TNA, yeah.
TNA the anime, whereas this is, it's not as direct and it's they're just dick metaphors, but it's not like present, like super present.
I think you and by the way, Nito, now that I think about it, this actually isn't as hetero a show as you think, but anyway,
we'll talk about it,
we'll talk about that. But I think you were looking down taking notes but you didn't notice at one point, I don't think they're in the ships, I think it's them physically, but Simon and Kamina are standing somewhere and Kamina's ranting about like their partnership or whatever and a fucking just volcanic explosion happens behind them.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was great, and I think this is a hallmark of Studio Trigger, is just that they're never afraid of going over the top.
Uh-huh.
It's like they do something and then they're like, now go over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just like a ridiculous explosion.
I feel like Kill la Kill was yeah, more over the top.
Oh yeah, yeah.
More over the top than this was.
Oh yeah, I love that one scene where it's like the sexy older guy talking to whoever Kill la Kill's main character is, and like his eye gleam gets so big it like takes up half the screen. I want to revisit that show. Watching this made me want to watch more Kill la Kill. And it's funny because they have these, I mean, I know the gleaming cross thing is like, you know, it's a trope in anime, but I do think about how in Evangelion, things die and then they explode into crosses. And that kind of feels like the same impulse that's just sort of like, fuck it. This is too much. This is really in your face, but it's great. We're just going to do it. Look, everyone, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, here it's not quite as depressing as Evangelion. And
yeah,
a lot of the stuff in it is penises.
It feels like upbeat,
I think,
for the most part. And it's there's a lot of Kamina being encouraging towards Simon,
yeah,
and like just kind of like believe in yourself or believe. I like the whole like believe in the me, yeah, that believes in you.
But
I think that's
true.
Really sweet. And it is true because sometimes like when you lack confidence, it can be helpful to just think about like, you know, somebody that you look up to or respect who fucking believes in you and thinks that you can do it. And you're like, wait a minute, if this guy's so smart and he thinks I can do it, then I must be capable of doing it.
Yeah, because you're like, you know? Well, I trust this guy's judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I feel like I am not representing myself accurately, like, you know, you always have some excuse in your head if you don't have good,
right,
confidence.
Right.
But you're like, well, he believes in me and he's known me for a while.
Yeah.
Except that's the thing with the show is I'm like, did you guys just meet? Like, I know it's a small village, but you're like, I trust him with my entire life. I'm like,
yeah.
You guys just started talking, I think.
I don't know how Simon really earned that from Kamina, but Yeah, a similar thing has happened with me. Like, if when I start a new job or a new role or something, I kind of feel a way about it sometimes. Like, I'm worried that, like, it's an imposter syndrome thing, right? Like, oh, I need to be the best, and like, I need to, well, like, prove that I'm, you know, a good hire or whatever, or that the like I was worthy of that promotion or whatever. But like, the advice that I've gotten that has been helpful to me is like, well, did you misrepresent yourself in the interview? Like, they hired you. Believe that they hired you. Like, did you think that the interview was fair? Like, they hired you, so that should mean that you belong in this role, you know?
I guess I agree with that in terms of like, well, I was good enough to pass myself off. Like, I'm good enough to have earned this job, but I don't know if they really have an accurate judgment of me. Because I lie in interviews. Not like on facts, but I definitely, I'm like, yeah, I'm, yeah, of course I could do that. Yeah, I'm great.
Well, that's one of the criteria. Like,
but I can't do it. It's a lie.
Well, I think also, like, with, at least with, like, interviews for the jobs, like, my jobs that I apply to, like, there is a, like, hard skill component. So you actually have to do something and, like, show your work.
That's true, yeah.
So like, you can't lie about that really, unless you cheated somehow, and I don't do that. So I'm like, okay, if I pass the test, then I must be at least like whatever, I at least am,
you could do that much,
what they expected, and they hired me because of that,
right?
So
you could be like, if I fuck up, it's your fault. Doesn't matter. There's also,
right, you knew what you were getting when you hired me.
This is what you signed on for. There also was, yeah, a manga that ran between 2007 and 2013, which is 16 volumes. It's extremely long. I have to imagine they get into even more detail than the show. The show is 27 episodes. Weird number. And there's a spinoff manga as well. So, yeah, I did not realize how deep this... and there's another spinoff. Holy fuck, but it's a four-panel comic. Wait a minute. And it is called Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann Four Panel Kingdom Yoko's Belly Button Chapter. Okay. Maybe it's not that deep.
Does Gurren Lagann mean anything?
No. I think one of the things means something, but I don't know. Miles, I don't know. That took a while to say, but the short version is, I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't know that we need to go beat by beat, but I do feel like the first episode is like almost perfect. Jackie, what did you think of the first episode after we watched it or during watching it?
The first episode, it was a lot for me to take in, I think, but it, I think, was a decent introduction to the characters. I like the believe in the me that believes in you, and that is in the first episode. And I didn't realize that would kind of be a theme throughout, but
yeah,
it's cool that like keeps coming back.
There's lines in this show that you've already heard that. You've heard, who the hell do you think I am? Comes up a lot. There's a few things.
It does a decent job of setting up the atmosphere and the, what's the word? Setting.
Universe?
Setting up the setting. Yeah, the universe. Yeah. And it looked good.
Yeah.
There were a lot of boobs in the first episode.
There were a lot of boobs, which is funny because it's just one character.
Yeah, but it's like I feel like her boobs are almost their own character in this, I feel.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of, you track their movements and stuff. Like,
maybe you do. I was not paying attention.
Oh, yeah?
No, I was looking at the robots. They're really cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, like...
they also had a bunch of butt shots of her, too.
That more so was, I think, in the next episode.
No, in this one, for
really?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah, when they're,
it.
Like, looking up at this stupid crocodile head, you just get, like, two, like, juicy booty shots.
Her... I feel like every shot needs... It's like every other shot is of both her tits and her ass in the same shot.
Yeah. It's that, like, that,
it's like, it's one or the, it's like you get boobs, then you get both, and then you get the other, like, and then you get ass.
Yeah.
And that's like how,
yeah,
her
cool.
Shots are framed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is the real BNA, boobs and ass.
Yeah.
That's what they should have called this. Miles, how did you feel when you're watching the first episode or after it was over or whatever?
So I've talked before about like having world building fatigue at anime.
Yeah.
Because we've watched a million of these. And I feel like it was less for this one because there was it like moved very quickly.
It's very fast, yeah.
And it they did not introduce too much. You know what I mean?
There wasn't much like standing around and talking, certainly.
Yeah, it wasn't very expository. So I was just like, okay, they live underground, stuff is above ground, there's giant robots. Okay, I get it. Also boobs.
Can I tell you about my boob notes? Because I did keep track of her boobs.
Okay.
Yes, please.
I also like that he has to stick his drill in the robot. But anyway.
Yeah.
I have a question about that, but please continue.
Well, first of all, I'm just going to talk about her boobs and not her. When they're like squeezing in through this like cave space, her boobs are like up against the wall and like pressed against it. And like as she moves, like her boobs are it feels like they specifically like created that space, that tight space so that we could see that. I don't know. But
oh, yeah. I mean, they use any excuse possible.
Oh, yeah. The little Buta. What Buta. Is that? The little pig?
He's a pig mole.
He's like hiding in her cleavage and he pops up.
She directly addresses it. She says, "What's this furry thing hiding in my cleavage?"
Yeah. So
she's like, huh.
So her boobs are also a hiding place.
Yep.
They serve multiple purposes, I guess. Well, that's one of them so far. And also, Simon at one point lands on her boobs or something, and then she just is okay with it. And
yeah,
then
she just laughs it off instead of being like, oh. Like in real life, you'd be like, ow, fuck.
And then she, I don't know, she sees something bad, one of those mecha bad guys, and then she pulls him into her boobs to protect him, which,
yeah.
So her boobs are a hiding place and also shields.
Yeah. they're bomb shelters.
Uh-huh.
You know what's funny too is I wrote...
And they seem also like annoying because they get in the way a lot.
Yeah. I wrote down that they are noisy because whenever they're the focus of a shot or an action, they have like a big stupid drum noise, like a boom.
Oh, okay.
Or whatever.
They make that noise... like you get that noise sometimes when you're playing Microsoft Hearts, but I don't know why exactly it happens.
Because you clicked on the boobs, dude. Because you were the queen of boobs was dealt to you and you were like, ah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot how good the voice performance for Kamina's voice actor, Katsuyuki Konishi, is in this. I just think that he's just really inspiring and really fired up. There are some lines that have like stuck with me, like when the three other like nameless characters that kind of like scab on him in the beginning when they are like, oh, we don't want to go to jail, they turn away, he just goes like, oh, Maira, where he's like, you guys. And when he goes, oi, 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 he just, he's great. And he is the voice, he's the voice of Diavolo from part 5 of JoJo's, who unfortunately, I don't think we get to hear a lot of good Diavolo in Golden Wind. I feel like mostly we hear Doppio yelling into a banana or pack of cigarettes or whatever. This is an example, like this show does have depth, but I think that like, especially in this first fight, it's an example of that thing I was talking about where rather than outsmarting your opponent, and I'm not saying that's better or not, it's just a different sort of thing. They just beat this guy by sheer willpower.
Mm-hmm.
Just like emotion.
It's very...
What's up?
I was just going to say, it's kind of like DBZ-ish.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that because like one, they're like the setting is very similar. Like I feel like every Dragon Ball Z fight is just like in an anonymous desert canyony place.
Easy to draw.
And this whole planet seems to be desert canyony.
That's true. Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like, I'm going to tough it out and beat you.
Yeah. It's just like through the power of friendship or like being pissed off at something, you just overwhelm and destroy something's arm and entire body. I really love, it's so funny to me how Simon in his little Lagan, it's just this tiny little head. It's like a very stubby character, kind of, but when it screams, when it's like yelling, it looks like, I don't know, it looks really strong, and I just really like it. Mm. I feel like I have a lot of admiration for this thing that's clearly so much tinier than everything, but it just like strikes this like heavy pose and is just a giant face. So it's just yelling, like,
it's like a stubby face. Yeah.
It's great. Especially when you get a drill, then you're like, oh, this is actually a problem. I don't want to get drilled. They don't talk a lot.
Is this a reference to the Twitter account Drill?
Oh, at DRIL. no, but, the show does keep cranking up a meter labeled racism while looking to the audience for approval. I butchered that, but that's a drill tweet at some point. Anyway, the show later heavily talks about spirals and I don't know why they're important or how they give energy to stuff. But you definitely see some spiral imagery in here. And obviously it's part of the drill, the way the drills are shaped. But that was strange to me that... you know, I thought, oh yeah, drills are all spirals are all over this show, but they don't talk about it for the first three or four episodes. I love the music of this show. I love the lonely sort of flute sound that plays in the more clandestine scenes when it's kind of like late at night and they feel lonely or despair. I guess that's how that was. That just the 20th Century Fox intro?
No, I was trying to do.
You were trying to do 20th Century Fox. Oh, My Heart Will Go On? My Heart Will Log On. Okay. The intro music, the OP, I love very much. I love its early 2000s guitar chords that start. And. The lead singer is actually, her name, I forget her actual name, but her name is Shoko Tan. She did a TV special where she draws with and interviews Araki from JoJo, because she's actually a huge JoJo fan, and she's in like Jotaro cosplay the whole time, but she also is a singer.
And I think I might have seen that. Did you show it to me?
I think so.
Yeah. I think you might have showed that
She explains Two Channel in a different video to this like older Japanese actress. She's great. Yeah. And I think the theme is Sora Iro Days. And it's good. It gives me chills. I noticed. I was like, am I going to get chills again? I was listening to the song standalone, but yeah, I got chills.
Can I ask my question?
Yeah.
What do we think, like, so... The drill is like the key, but what do we think makes the machines powerful? Like, what is powering them? Is it horniness?
You know, I don't remember. I shouldn't speculate, but I don't even remember. Like, again, I mean, there are parallels to Eva. Like, in Eva, what powers the machines is, I mean, besides, like, the fucking batteries and stuff, but it's, like, the bond... of the pilot with the spirit that they trapped in the fucking robot. Spoilers for the past. And in this, it seems like having self-confidence or rage, toxic masculinity powers the robots and the gunmen, as the enemies are called in this show.
It's probably like willpower or something, or manliness. It's probably manliness.
That's what I'm saying.
It's manliness.
Yeah. Otokopoi.
What does that mean?
Manliness. Like when you, I think when you add poi, it's just like ishness.
Mm.
Otokopoi. Like you seem masculine. You seem manly. Mm. They use it in Terrace House all the time. The reason why I don't like, certainly this show is in its imagery and on its face of like declared attraction, it's hetero aside from the one stereotype guy. But
do you want me to explain why I say that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Because the two main characters, Simon and Kamina, have a very bro-y relationship, but it's like doesn't really have a romantic kind of undertone, and even if you thought it did, they reinforce their heterosexuality with both their relationships to the babe character, Yoko. Like, there is a very like obvious and like spoken attraction between the male characters and her, like the two main characters and her. And she seems to have a thing for Simon as well. So
for
like
Kamina, I think
it's a little bit of, maybe it's a little bit of both. Cause I see her kind of like, or at least like she's okay with everyone ogling her and touching her and stuff.
I think she's mommying Simon.
Oh, maybe that's
and,
what
and
it is.
And Simon seems embarrassed to be around women, but I don't know that he's directly attracted to Yoko.
Well, that's the vibe I was getting. And then when you have the, gay character or the non-binary character who's attracted to men, I mean, I have a lot to say about that character, but it's like at least for the episode that he's introduced, it feels like a lot of like Kamina and Simon both being uncomfortable around being hit on by a dude, and all the way to the extreme, like, and it's like kind of to show like we're not into men, or we're not into at least this creepy guy. Like even to the extreme of, and it's played for jokey purposes, but Kamina threatening to kill this guy for like if he tries anything,
yeah,
which I have a lot of problems with.
It's over the top. I don't think that at any point you're supposed to believe that Kamina will really kill this guy.
Yeah, I don't.
If anything, it's parodying his.
I don't think it's funny.
Fearful reaction to it.
I don't think it's funny. I don't think you should. I don't think. You
I don't
should
think Liron
that.
Believes it either, because Liron does it twice in a row. I don't think. I don't. It's not being normal. I mean, it's like
not an appropriate reaction, and so I don't think it's a. And like I don't know. I don't like it.
The reaction is one thing, but I would say that if anything, it is. It's doing the same trope of like gay men will hit on you and aggressively so, and it's annoying. Like it's not something to take seriously,
I guess. But like if we were watching something and like a woman was hitting on a guy and the guy threatened to kill her, I think that would all, like, people would also see that as like a
misogynistic
problem.
The comedic tone that this episode has and that interaction had, I don't think so. I think it's clearly
a
gag.
It's like, right, it's supposed to be funny.
I think it's
hashtag
problematic, though.
It's super problematic.
Because of like, yeah. I wasn't a fan of it either, Jackie.
Thank you, Miles.
but I was wondering if it was like ahead of its time to even have a character like that in like 2007, who seems like he'll be a major character.
Mm-hmm.
Or is he always just a bad stereotype?
Yeah, he doesn't like, because he has some more serious emotional moments where he comes out and kind of explains something to Yoko or whatever. And you're like, okay, so this is not a completely flat character. And I also get the vibe, maybe I'm just sort of inventing this, but I get the vibe that he just enjoys making people feel uncomfortable, and he just enjoys sort of messing with people.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that I'm not saying like, oh yeah, there's nothing wrong here. Like, there's nothing that would sort of upset gay and non-binary people, and there's nothing that like contributes to harmful stereotypes. But I don't agree that the threat of kill. I don't really know how someone would take that as like a serious endorsement of violence.
It's not a. I mean, I don't know. It's just like it's that's already kind of, that's been normalized, like men having like violent reactions to being hit on by men. Like that is like people, I think, generally, maybe less so now, but I mean, over the years that I've been alive, I've seen people like see that as like a normal reaction, to be like, oh, if a guy hits on me, I would fucking like I would beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, but
you know?
He's physically in that situation and he doesn't actually do anything. Like
he makes a joking threat.
Like, I don't think anybody thinks this character is about to actually kill the other character.
I don't know this guy.
Yeah. like I don't know if he kept hitting on him, would he
the tone of the show
violent.
Strikes you
I
as
don't
though
know.
One character would kill another one for being hit on?
Or beat the shit out of him.
Well,
or
I don't
whatever.
Know. I've only watched 3 episodes. I don't know. Like, I mean, it. Like, he did seem really mad about it.
I guess.
To me, I don't know.
All right.
But anyway, like, back to the actual topic was, like, we were talking about, like, well, anyway, to me, that scene besides being problematic, is also just like communist signaling or the show signaling to us that Kamina is super straight.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's my thing, is that I think that, and this is, I mean, I think Trigger, I forget if it happens in Kill la Kill as well, they like have people that are outside of like the hetero norm, and that's like cool, but they also do it in a way that like they are constantly making jokes.
Yeah,
at their like, expense.
The joke is that they're gay or whatever.
Right. Is that like, oh yeah, like it's the thing of being like, oh look, you're uncomfortable around gay people. Like that's dumb. In reality, this character is smart and good and whatever. But and it's also like, yeah, but you just constantly have a stereotype on screen. But I don't know. My thing is that I think there are, I don't think they're necessarily just winking at the audience in the ambiguously gay duo kind of way. I do think there are fair theories that there's some kind of more than brotherly relationship between Simon and Kamina.
You think that the show is putting that in there somehow? Because I feel like the show is like going out of its way to make sure you know that they are straight, like in multiple ways.
I think they're going out of their way. In some ways, I think that I'm open to the theory that they are making them seem ambiguous, like possibly gay, which could just be as a joke, you know, but like they're just being like, look how.
But where are you seeing that? Because I just see like a brotherly relationship.
I mean, they
know?
Literally combine, you know.
Oh, like, that's true.
One guy puts his like drill into the other guy.
Okay. Awesome.
Like, which again, if you guys know what I'm talking about, when I talk about the ambiguously gay duo, it was a cartoon that was part of Saturday Night Live. They had like an animation block or whatever, Saturday TV Funhouse. And it was basically a parody on the early Batman and Robin live action TV show, in that it always kind of seemed like Robin was the younger gay boyfriend of Batman. And so the ambiguously gay duo would just sort of take that dynamic, but they would have all these ridiculous physical visual metaphors. Like they flew in a big penis.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where like one of them's trying to just like jam a crystal into some kind of receptacle that clearly looks like a butt and things like that. And yeah, I don't know. There's just things about their relationship that feels homoerotic. And I don't think it's like a completely ironic accident. That being said,
I guess I had
a
hard time seeing that because Simon is so small and is a child.
Is he though?
But maybe he's just small.
Maybe, yeah. And maybe I'm giving too much good faith, but I was like, I was wondering how old he was supposed to be, but then Liron does hit on him a few times. And so I was just like hoping that that meant that he is like not that young.
But yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're also just like, oh yeah. And here's another stereotype of gay people. They're chicken hawks or whatever. Hopefully not that. But other than that, yeah, there's certainly a lot of traditional masculinity and traditional femininity on screen. Kamina certainly makes his attraction to Yoko pretty clear. And the animators make their attraction to Yoko pretty clear.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
Another thing, can we just talk about Yoko for one sec? Why does the show ever explain why she chooses to wear a bikini while fighting?
Jackie, a
bikini,
it's a tactical outfit.
A bikini and a scarf. Like she's like cold, but only on her neck. And then
yeah.
Also, I wish somebody would explain like how all her parts stay in where they're supposed to be.
Booby
in
tape
in that bikini.
Obviously, that fashion tape that you know, J-Lo had to wear for that old green dress.
Insane.
She also has like long boots on, like big white boots.
It's a little bit of movie magic.
Booby magic. And she also has a sniper rifle, which means that it can go right between her boobs and stuff.
Of course.
And it has nothing to do with dicks at all. It's just an oblong weapon that happens to make sense for her. But yeah, that it reminds me of Quiet from Metal Gear Solid 5, who was also a sniper lady who was just like almost entirely naked the whole time. But I think they did include like a in-universe reason for why that was.
Yeah, I think they did.
But
too.
I think there may have been an extra level of irony, sort of like, we know this is dumb, but here's a reason. I'm like, fuck it. Just in case you want to believe this makes sense, here you go.
I appreciate acknowledging it at least.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's because it seems like a weird choice to make given everything else you know.
Yeah. I also noticed that in the first episode, there's a lot of chaos jazz. Just whenever something like frantic was happening, they just have this jazz track they play that I think is just sort of a shortcut to show the franticness, sort of unsuredness of what was about to happen.
Look, man, it's the only free music there is, okay?
Jazz? Oh, you mean like free, like it's free from the shackles of written music and stuff?
That's right, baby.
Okay. Episode 2 is when they're like on the surface and we see that the gunmen pilots are these beast men who
Wait. There's one other thing that annoyed me about the first episode.
What's that?
When they were exposed to the light for the first time, I was bothered that they didn't all go like, "Ah, it's bright."
Mm. Ah.
Interesting. I guess they it would take away from the emotion like, of that. Yeah.
I wanted them to react like they were like sleeping and somebody turned on the light and they were like, "Oh, Dad."
Why have they never gone up to the surface? Is that explained?
They're just like not allowed up there. They live in this village and they're told like there is no surface. They like this underground village is all there is. Like they have no concept that they're underground, quote unquote.
Okay.
They just live in a place.
Is that like the M. Night Shyamalan movie?
Is it
the
what?
Village? I think it is.
Yeah, it's a little bit like The Village.
Like
that was a movie I liked before the twist.
Okay, cool.
Then the twist happened and I was like, I don't want to watch this shit.
What a twist.
But we were in the theater. So I found out Guren could mean Crimson Lotus. I guess maybe somewhere in the manga that was explained. And the little face being named Lagan could mean enveloping face, which whatever. I thought it looked like Olmec when he first found it underground and showed them. It just made me think of Legends of the Hidden Temple, like it was about to ask some trivia questions. But that didn't come to pass.
Yet.
Yeah, I forget who Liron's voice actor is as well. This is I know this is sort of like a meta way of looking at it, but it is sort of weird that Liron's voice actor also is Alessi from JoJo.
Which one was... Oh, Alessi, who's a pedophile, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
A murderous pedophile.
Cool.
But who among us? I don't know what I mean by that, but I just wanted to say who among us, and I'm going to see how you guys react.
Who among us?
Who among
it's
us?
It's a good tactic to find people out.
It isn't a murdering pedophile. The voice of Buta the pig.
Is this a QAnon podcast now?
Is Tomoko, Josuke's mom, in part 4. Did you guys... Oh, that's episode 4. Okay, that doesn't matter. Yeah. There's 4 characters in episode 4 who are all like light-skinned characters. They're all wearing black clothes, but they're known as the Black Siblings. I don't know how that happened. Just take that info as you will, but some of those voice actors voice JoJo characters, but we did not technically watch episode 4, so you'll never know, listener. Although I'm finding this out from this website someone made that I forgot about called avac.moe, and you just put in 2 different shows and hit compare and it shows you the matchups between like voice actors that share a actor. Shows that share a voice actor. Although they didn't have Diavolo on there. Maybe they were hiding something. Yeah, episode 2, they're on the surface. They find out that the gunmen pilots are beastmen, who are these sort of doofuses that they look like they're in gorilla costumes almost.
Mm-hmm.
And their butts are exposed. Kamina steals a gunman because the show does not have a scientific approach, and he's just like, I'm gonna hijack that thing, and he just does. And I think they put sunglasses on the robot. Like it was like a really delayed reaction on my part, but I was looking at it and I'm like, it has sunglasses.
They did.
And then I was like, did I see them like using cranes to lift a giant pair of sunglasses that match Kamina's?
No, I think they just appear.
Oh, okay. I could have sworn I saw footage of them being lowered or something, but maybe it was the whole robot.
It makes them all look like people on Twitter who are like, if he hadn't resisted,
What?
Like all all like the MAGA people on Twitter wear those like wraparound shades.
Oh, yeah, like the Oakley ones with like the band behind them or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's pretty sweet. I thought you meant
these are
like,
a little different, I guess.
I thought you were referring to like the little skull, be like the Punisher skull with the blue line running through it or whatever. Yeah, this, again, just the idea of like the science doesn't matter. It's just about willpower and friendship. When Kamina is like, I'm going to steal that robot. And they're like, well, you don't know how to pilot it. And he's like, well, how'd you know how to pilot this thing? He's like, I just grabbed the sticks and it just came to me. He's like, I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I'll never have that level of confidence. Never.
He's a wild card.
It's like,
Kamina.
You know, when you figure out jerking off, you just grab it, figure it out.
Oh, that's what the show's about.
I had to study and read on how to do that. It did not come naturally to me.
You went to the library.
Yeah. You should have seen all the weird grips I was trying.
You laugh, but I feel like this is probably true for women.
Oh. Maybe. I am truly sorry for your lots. One thing I like about Kamina is even though he is this loud guy who's like way too confident and rarely like wrong about it, like things work out, Simon saves him at the right time or whatever, that we do see some weakness of him, you know, that really weird coincidence, or it might not be a coincidence that his dad's body is found like right outside where they were, which maybe means that his dad was like, all right, come find me when you're ready, I'm gonna stay on the surface and fight, and then he just I guess immediately gets squashed or something. And you see Kamina.
I was thinking it was going to be like a thing where he was looking for his dad the whole series, and he found him immediately.
Yeah, because it's sad too, because you wonder, like, no one voices this, but I do kind of wonder. I'm like, was anyone like, oh man, your dad like kind of sucked. Like, you made him sound like he was really cool, but he just like turned around and left you, and then just bleh, got stepped on. But it is a nice humanizing aspect of his character.
Yeah,
that he's very sad, he has dad problems.
Yeah. Do you think that his daddy issues are why he wants to be a big bro to Simon?
I think that checks out. I think it makes sense. And he knows what happened to Simon's parents.
Like wanting to have a family connection kind of thing.
Wanting to have a family connection and also give that mentor role to Simon because he doesn't have parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really a really cool moment too when they do finally shoot out of the underground and they're in the little topless log-on looking around. And they're just sort of floating there for a second before they fall. But that was episode one. We're past that. I also like in episode two when they do the accidental like boomerang technique when Logan flies through the two green guys. I just think it's funny that they just blow up, like they're laughing at Kamina, and then just this little tiny angry skull drill flies through them and they just explode. Yeah, I don't know. It's
weird,
just sort of funny
that
the bad guys are goofy idiots.
Yeah. Are we to believe that Simon is just super good at drilling? Like that's his thing?
He is really good at drilling in the beginning.
They make fun of, like in the beginning, they make fun of him for being a dig boy.
A dig boy?
I think they call him a digger.
I think they call him Dig Dug.
But he's getting bullied about it.
Well, his
it.
Boss is like, how come you guys can't drill like Simon?
Yeah.
And he's just, but like, it's weird that the skills for hand drilling would translate to a robot that has drills.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like how his drill actually goes into the cockpit of Kamina's robot. So the drill is just next to Kamina and he has to kind of tilt his head as the drill comes past.
I like the fusion of them together. I think that's cute.
Yeah, it's cool. And I love how, again, in the spirit of things just happening, when they merge, Logan, like their colors just match. Like Logan, I think, was a different color when he like landed on him, but then he gets straightened out. And it's a very funny scene when they first combine because they're just standing there like nothing's happening. And Kamina puts his hand on his head to straighten it out and is like, there, now we have two faces.
Shit just works out.
Yeah, it's just like, nah, it's fine. Yeah, the color just matches and they have that same... And it's another example of them cannibalizing parts from something else. Because I guess like in this sort of scarcity world where you just have to gather scrap stuff, it's like, oh yeah, I just stole this robot. Now we're combining the two. Oh, and also I stole your extra head from that... Did you guys pick up that the bad guy Viral is a beast man?
Yeah, but he looks very human.
He's totally different, right?
He's the like skinny blonde guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I did.
Yeah, he looks totally different. He wears like a frilly, stupid collar. He's extremely light-skinned. His teeth are all triangles, I noticed. And I love his fighting animation when he's in his Enki or whatever that thing is called. Some of the kick poses and stuff he strikes look like Muay Thai. I think he's cool, and I like the fights they have.
You want to be like him?
I do want to be like him. Anyway.
Did you feel sad when they were hunting for animals and all the animals were cute?
Oh, I thought all the animals were stupid.
They're so weird. There was like a watermelon hippo or whatever.
Yeah.
They were weird.
I thought it was great how stupid they were. It really felt like the designers were like, let's just make dumb animals that are just like multiple like stereotypical animals stuck together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I thought they were cute.
I think they're dumb. I liked it. I thought that was part of the idea, too, is that like water balloon hippo is just sitting there with a one single face and then an arrow hits it and it just falls over.
Shit.
Yeah, no, I liked it. Oh, I forgot to point out though, if Viral's voice actor, his sort of raspy voice reminds you of anything, he plays Link in a lot of the Legend of Zelda games. So if you remember him yelling while slashing stuff in Ocarina of Time, that's the same guy. Yeah. Falling off a ladder going, I did. He's also Joe Higashi in King of Fighters, but I know that's more niche over here in the West. Regardless,
cool.
Let us move on.
Oh, can you explain to me? So Kamina keeps talking about Gurren, and Gurren is a place for manly souls and something about, it seems like it's a manly cool club that he invented.
Yep.
Is that what it is?
It's just like it's a treehouse club that he made up, yeah.
Okay.
It may have had to do with his dad in the past or something. I don't know, but I think he just invented a club and was like, it's all the cool guys. And that's also part of why it's sort of like, I feel like it's making fun of him and that idea that he just talks about being a man the whole time. And it's like, come on, this is a lot.
Mm.
You're being stupid.
So I have a question. It does Yoko or Leron, do either of them ever get to be a part of his of Kamina's cool club?
Don't we see what happens with that? Does he not talk about that in these episodes?
I don't know.
Oh. Well, maybe. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody.
All right. You can tell me later.
All right.
But I would like this show more. This show is, I'll just say it. It's not my genre. So mm-hmm. They're pretty much, unless it was doing something really unique or something that really resonated with me, I probably was not, it wouldn't be my cup of tea, you know, and it didn't do any of that. Like, cause I if it had some kind of like deeper emotional thing that resonated with me, I might want to keep watching it, but it's not my genre. It's a lot of action that I don't care about. The themes of like masculinity and manliness don't resonate with me and make me feel a little bit like I wouldn't be accepted by these people. So by like the leaders. So yeah. It's not that I didn't like it. It just, it's not my thing, I guess. It's not for me. Mm. But why did I bring that up? I think that I would maybe feel better about this show if I knew that it was inclusive, Kamina was actually inclusive of
He's certainly working with
non them. Like more feminine people.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I lampoon that a little bit, I think, where a few times in the first episode or two, he's like, this is the manly thing to do. And Yoko's like, I am a woman.
Yeah, yeah, and so, I saw that,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, she's obviously doing her part. And so he's just, I think it's supposed to come off as though he's a blowhard. Just mm-hmm. saying all the spouting all these things about men. And it's just like, dude, just shut up. It doesn't matter. Like, mm-hmm. just fight. What were you going to say, Miles?
Something along the same lines. I feel like they're leaving room for him to maybe, like,
come around,
learn that maybe this is not the best way to go about living.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe he'll learn to accept non-manly people in his life.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope so.
They join. It's all the Team Gurren.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think it's kind of already happened here. He may not have officially stated it, but it's just like a made-up club for a while anyway, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Gurren
gang. They're a team.
That's cool.
Yeah, the show, first of all, I guess without getting into it too much, the show gets way more complicated and has a pretty dramatic shift in the middle somewhere, and it becomes a very different kind of show.
Mm.
We didn't get anywhere in there, but I did want to talk about episode 4. Episode 4 is this sort of...
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I know. It's sort of this filler episode where they're ambushed by these people that think they're beastmen because they're piloting these mechas, which is kind of fair. They've only seen beastmen piloting them. And you meet them, and they're called the Black Siblings, despite being light-skinned people that are just wearing black clothes.
Well, in Japanese anime, this happens in Sailor Moon, too. They use the word black to mean dark or evil or wicked.
I know.
Which is a thing.
Well, in this case, they're not evil, but it's just, it is just weird where it's like, if you're subtitling for English speakers, like, I mean, I don't know. It's just sort of silly. I don't mean it as like an honest critique. It, like, what are you doing? Why aren't they? I just mean it's
But
funny.
Like, is it, so like, at least in Sailor Moon, like, they use English. Like, they call, like, but the English translation is wicked lady, but in actual Japanese, they're saying black lady.
I don't remember.
But then in the dub, they call her wicked lady. But it's in English. Like in the Japanese, they say black lady. But also in the subtitles, they still call her black lady because that's what they're saying. That's Sailor Moon. So I'm wondering if for this, maybe they're called like the Black Siblings in English, or maybe they're called like the word for black, which is what? Shiroi?
That's white. Kuroi. That's white.
Kuroi?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the literal translation. I don't know.
I went to Google Black Siblings and it's just showing me a bunch of like stock photo family portraits of
okay.
black people that are young and perhaps related. But I forget how they write it. I don't remember hearing them say like burak or anything.
Yeah.
But no, I just think it's a curiosity. I'm not, you know, honestly like mad at the logic or curious.
It's a color and it means a lot of different things. And
it's
so
not a color.
Black is not a color?
No. Black and white are not colors.
You're so annoying.
It is an absence of color and you could call it arguably a shade.
You said gray wasn't a color the other day too.
Correct. Black and white and gray are not colors. They are shades. White is all colors at once. Black is the void and gray is the shade of the two.
I think it depends on what you're talking about. Like if I have a paintbrush, I have a bunch of colors, right? Like if I'm painting, I have to buy paint. The paint are all different colors.
No.
Yeah, they are.
I don't know.
They're different colors.
I don't know what to call it. I wish I thought about this. You could, I could say they're different tones, different shades.
I think it's
different paints.
You're talking about like the scientific like way that we perceive color or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
I'm having fun doing it.
But like when regular people discuss color, we're talking about like what color we're going to paint
what
something
is a
or like what
person?
Color my notebook is.
Are you saying I'm not regular?
If I ask you like what color this microphone is, Mark, are you going to say it has no color? It's like
I would say it's a black mic, but in my head I'm like it's not a color. That's what I do.
Oh my God, you're so annoying.
I don't really do this. Just so you know, I don't really care.
Okay.
I just think it's funny to grief you.
This has been Pedantry Pod.
Well, I hate it.
Yeah. I mean, also like paint and light work differently as well. So if you're talking about color, I guess paint works. Because isn't it weird though? When you mix red and green paint, it turns brown. but if you mix red and green light, it turns yellow. Hmm.
What?
Yeah. Primary colors in paint are red, yellow, and blue, but in light, it's red, green, and blue. If you mix red and yellow in paint, you get green. So it's a secondary color.
Red and yellow.
Make green if you're painting.
Don't they make orange?
No.
Red and yellow.
Shit. You're right.
Who knows about colors, Mark?
I know about shades. You know about colors.
All right.
Wait. No. Wait. Wait. Yes, if you mix blue and yellow in paint, you get green.
Correct.
But if my option set for mistakes was pretty small, I won't lie.
Really, all right. And, all right. And what happens, Mark, when you mix red and blue?
You get purple.
Good.
And I think you get that no matter what. I think you get that in light as well. But Okay. Anyway, episode 4, the reason why I want to talk about it is because of this thing that I find very funny, which is that I guess it's technically not that funny, but one of the producers of the show, who I think was also a founding member of Gainax, the studio, actually left because of some comments that he had about the reaction to episode 4. So when episode 5 came out, he was like, I am leaving Gainax. I am very sorry. Basically, episode 4 has a lower quality animation. There are some sequences that look good. There are other things that look fucking terrible. And I watched it to confirm that. The facial animations are really stiff. They all kind of almost look like Johnny Bravo or something. And there are some parts that are just missing. Like a villain towards the end is like, he looks like he's about to run at them. But they don't animate that. You just see him like speared a second later. So the animation quality definitely took a dip. And people on 2chan, the big Japanese board that has a bunch of different subboards and obviously like anime fandom is talked about there. There were some negative reactions to it where they, rightfully pointed out, like, why is this? I don't know what they said, but they made disparaging remarks. And Takami Akai said, I don't know where, but in regards to the criticisms, he said that reading them was like, quote, putting my face next to an anus and breathing deeply.
Oh.
Which I think is just ridiculous and an insanely good burn. But fans apparently were annoyed at this reaction and he left the company. which to me is an insane reaction or counter reaction, but I don't know. Japan does things a little bit differently. And I think this might be some editorializing on whoever wrote this Wikipedia piece, but his friend was a guest on that episode, was like a guest animator, Osamu Kobayashi. And so he may have been more pissed off at the reaction because it was a friend of his that was in charge of it. But I don't know what happened. I hate to tell you this, Mr. Akai, but that episode didn't look so hot. So,
to be loyal to your friend. That's nice.
Yeah, stick it out and say some poetically grotesque things about any critics of his work. And it was like the show has some censorship. Like in episode 6, there's a ton of like near nudity, like very close to nudity. There's a bunch of Concho games, which we've talked about.
I wonder which character it was.
I think it's several. Oh. It's like almost all of them, I think. And there's a bunch of Concho, which is, some of the younger male characters pretending to or imply that they jam their fingers in other dudes' butts as some childhood kind of game. We've talked about Concho, mm-hmm. I think. And so they released, the censored version, but you can get the director's cuts as one of our Twitter followers suggested. But we didn't watch up to 6. Maybe I'll do that privately.
Privately.
Anyway.
All right.
Yeah, I owe this show a rewatch probably because I have over time been a big fan of this first half, and then the second half I don't like as much, but I think that being a different person more than 10 years later, I wonder if I would still feel that same way. So I gotta watch this, but who knows if I'll do that. I've got a podcast to watch anime for.
What if you watch it and you still don't like it and you realize you haven't grown or changed at all in a decade?
I don't know. Maybe I could take security in that. You know?
Okay.
I'm consistent and I stick to my principles.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I'm not a stubborn idiot who refuses to change. What did you guys, I mean, well, Jackie gave her thoughts. Miles, what did you think about the show?
It's not my thing.
Okay.
I like the action was really cool. Like it was exciting, but like, I don't know, something about the art didn't jive with me. Mm. I'm not super interested in what happens to these people.
Oh,
same.
That's a good way to put it. That's an important question, I guess, when it comes to reading something or watching something. It's like, do I give a shit?
Yeah.
Well, I am.
I do like the believe in the me that believes in you, and I like their little relationship, like their I don't know what to call it.
Bromance.
They're like, yeah, or their mentor mentee kind of thing.
Their senpai kohai.
Yeah, and like he's, I mean, I don't know. I'm not super into them individually, but I like what's the word? I like
the dynamic.
I like male friendships in general that are like that, where it's like, you know, it's like sweet and they're helping
each
other.
I figured you would.
I like that. Yeah.
Is that why you like me and Mark?
Yeah. Wait, no, I feel like you guys are antagonistic towards each other.
That was what Miles was implying.
No.
Yeah. We would never
I was
got
also
tied.
Say...
It's part of why I like JoJo's.
Yeah.
Mm.
Makes sense.
And the other thing, like, to make another JoJo comparison, is I feel like a lot of those fights are like chess matches. And this was a little simple, or it is mm-hmm. a little so far.
It's like a thumb war.
Like, I'm madder than you, so I'm going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't interest me.
Like I said, the dynamics get more complicated. There's like ideas of like alignment and loyalty and stuff. That doesn't mean it becomes like a strategic 12-dimensional chess sort of show. If you're looking for that, that doesn't really happen. But in terms of like social dynamics, and I don't want to say political, but it gets to a bigger scale and you learn more about why things are the way they are and stuff. So it's cool. It's a deep series. It's not shallow. I don't know what the fuck I was going to say. Never mind.
It gets deeper.
Like you're drilling into something
the
and you're getting really
deeper.
Far into it.
Ah, yeah. Damn it.
Yep.
Do the dick metaphors also get deeper?
I don't know how much deeper they could get. And I don't know what you mean by that.
I don't
deeper,
know.
Like it makes you think. You're like, wow, a drill is like a dick. That made me think.
I don't know.
Yeah, listen.
Hello?
Hearing your guys' lukewarm thoughts about the show was like putting my face next to an anus and breathing deeply. No.
Okay.
I respect that. Listeners, if you have feelings about the representation of... Well, if you have feelings about
this
episode
show.
two, the parts that we found controversial, if you have feelings about the show...
People are already writing. People already like
nah.
They started their draft already.
Nah,
they're
if
like,
you
I
are,
disagree with Jackie you, on this. I disagree with Mark
I
on this.
I'm probably outvoted, but anyway, if you are writing while listening, make sure you stop and look it over, and then erase all the parts that don't matter.
Yeah,
and hopefully you still have an email left after that.
Keep it short.
No, I don't. Short. It doesn't have to be short. It just has to feel like you thought about it.
Don't write us a diary entry. We are not your diary.
We're going to get no emails. we just make it sound like we have high standards. But that's just to anybody who's sitting there already typing away, because you don't know what we're going to say next, which is that this has all been a lie. We didn't watch this show. We looked up Wikipedia.
Wait, Miles is going to say something.
Miles?
What? No.
It sounded like you were going to say something.
I was going to make the same dumb drill joke as you.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, so write to us, jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, @JJBpod. I also barely stream on our Twitch channel, which is also JJBpod, but the other day I streamed Japanese Mahjong for about 2.5 hours.
Listen,
and
Mark,
just chatted it up with some people.
You know
people.
What you got to do with that Twitch, right?
Strap myself to a rocket and stream it?
No, you just got to stream yourself fixing up your house.
No, I'm too embarrassed about it. I don't know. Maybe I'll put some photos up of what it's like after I shim these hinges, because I got the shims. Anyway, if you want to see somebody mediocre at Japanese Mahjong, go to twitch.tv/JJBpod, and you can also harass me into continuing the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure PlayStation 3 game that I started and have not touched again. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week, which is 7 days from now. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, bye.